This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Right now, our next topic of debate, well, it's got to do with the end-to-wall debate. Safety or separation, the so-called DA wall, officially known as the End-to-Edge Safety Project, has become one of the most controversial infrastructure debates in South Africa right now. Well, supporters say it's a necessary crime prevention measure. Critics have called it everything from a South African Berlin Wall to an architecture of control. Let's unpack that now. Joining us, so we welcome Alderman Jean-Pierre J.P. Smith, who's a mayoral committee member for safety and security for the city of Cape Town. Alderman, a very good afternoon to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Alderman. Can you hear us?
I can, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear. Once again, Alderman, thanks for joining us on today's show. Yes, you do have a long name. Are you okay with me addressing you as Alderman, sir?
I'm happy to be called JP.
JP, okay. Thanks so much for joining us on the Afternoon Brief, JP. For listeners who may only know this as the DA wall, let's take this from the top. Not of the wall exactly, but what exactly is the End-to-Edge Safety Project and what problem is it specifically trying to solve? Let's look at that holistically first.
Well, so you have along every freeway in almost every part of the world barrier walls that prevent people from entering the road reserve. There is an existing wall. It is owned largely by SANRAL, but in part also by the provincial government. And the goal of that wall is to keep people, grazing animals, out of the road reserve. And you will find such walls wherever you travel internationally. I have recently done some such traveling and took some pictures and video of such barrier walls. That wall is partially intact. There's bits of it left, but mostly has now been vandalized to the point where it is more permeable than not. And as a consequence, is seeing very large numbers of people enter the road. We've just come from a meeting with Minister Creasy, and in that meeting, she raised with us the shocking number of pedestrian fatalities, mainly on the into along those high risk stretches, and the need for additional measures, which in part is enforcement, but in part is also engineering. And the same goes for the attacks on people on that road, whether it's people throwing stones or dragging obstacles into the road, or cattle grazing there, entering the road reserve, or entering the road area and being struck. In all those cases, you need both enforcement and engineering. We've done as much as we can with the enforcement side. We now have, at any given shift, around 30 to 40 officers on the N2 and R300 trying to keep people safe and responding to motorists who break down, trying to deal with people who do unlawful things in the road surface, using the cameras to detect such potential victims and responding to them. But that will only take you so far. We've significantly reduced the number of attacks from about 8 serious incidents a month to around 2. And we'll keep on and pushing to be more effective, but the barrier walls need to be reinstated. This should be done by SANRAL, but it does not appear that they have the immediate means to do so.
Okay.
And having been in discussion with them over more than a decade or decade and a half about this, I think our current mayor has just said there is no point in further delaying it. We need to take action ourselves. And the most macabre part of this entire thing is the insane amount of political narratives that have been generated around this that you mentioned earlier, because SANRAL is in fact erecting several sections of wall along Makassar, and have already erected some on next to Delft, and nothing was said about that. No polemic was raised, because of course the difference between the city of Cape Town and SANRAL is that SANRAL is not standing for local government elections later this year.
Indeed. JP, actually, perhaps you read my mind again, because the question I wanted to pose to you was, with all these attributes which you've just outlined now, surely that kind of resonated some common sense with the residents who of course, I'm sure you, this was put to them by the city of Cape Town. And I was just curious to know, why is it then they've got a problem with what you just outlined now, given the merits of the points you just outlined?
Look, I think even national government knows the wall needs to be reinstated. It is SANRAL's legal obligation and responsibility. the fact that it's not being done is a serious problem, and people must take responsibility for the many fatal accidents and injuries that have happened there to pedestrians and to to the occupants of vehicles. On the stats we just saw again now, 90% of the fatalities on the freeway is pedestrians. So it's long overdue for those barrier fences to have been addressed. It's irresponsible not to address them. And no amount of fake outrage and contrived political polemic is going to change the fact that something needs to be done, and that instead of just carrying on talking about it for another 5 or 10 years, the city is going to proceed to just get it done.
Let's look at the financial implications regarding this, JP. There has been a discussion, confusion, if I can, for want of a better word, around the cost initially reported at 180 million, now clarified at roughly between 114, 115 million rand. So can you explain the discrepancy and what exactly taxpayers will be looking at?
The precise thing is that one doesn't know. This has to go out to tender. There is a commercial process. SANRAL has concluded two recent tender processes and has already built a test section of wall, again, without any polemic. But we will go out to a competitive process, not my department to handle that. It's a different department in council, but that will dictate what those costs will come in at. And then an agreement will be signed. We've estimated based on the best known costs of those walls per meter at the around 140 to 150 million mark for the most critical sections, based on the accident statistics and crime statistics. But it pales in comparison to the massive cost of the injuries and fatalities, financial cost, but also human cost of people who are injured, maimed, and injured in such a manner that they can never work or have a quality of life again. So those costs far exceed this. We were just looking at some of the medical costs relating to a person seriously injured on a freeway to the state. And it vastly exceeds over time through those 90 casualties this last year alone, vastly exceeds what we would be spending on the wall. So I think it is definitely the right thing to do. The pity is that, of course, running up to local government elections, right, that these matters become so aggressively politicized. But I will tell you that in previous years, the same people who are now criticizing their parties supported various forms of walls when there wasn't a political polemic around this, including the provincial ANC MEC at one point, who pressed for the wall to be completed, etc. So I'm not concerned about that aspect of it. I know that the vast majority of the members of the public want safe and secure movement corridors along our city and do not want to become the victims of random crime, or, as we have seen twice in the last week, seeing young people on their way to school knocked down and lying on the road, right, with mean-spirited people recording videos of them lying on the road and those circulating on social media. That's not the society we want to build. So there is more dignified ways to do this. Part of that involves reviewing the construction whilst we do the reviewing the construction on these roads, increasing the number of pedestrian bridges, and along with that, looking at where the road reserve is wide enough to facilitate better organized usage spaces that still makes effective use of them as recreation spaces or kickabouts or sports fields, but in a fenced off and secure manner that does not put young people at risk.
JP, I'm getting an interesting question in from one of our listeners, and it reads, these attacks often happen when motorists are forced, or attacks on this particular stretch. Motorists are forced to stop the criminals, escape into nearby informal settlements. The question to you now is, how confident are you that a physical barrier will meaningfully reduce that vulnerability?
That's probably one of the most, it's the only remaining intervention we can still do. We have already added huge numbers of staff patrolling those freeways along with provincial traffic and SAPs. We are using the 29 freeway management system cameras along that to maximum effect. We're responding to more than 80% of the vehicles who become stationary in under 5 minutes. And so there is a limit to what you can do operationally. At some point, you need to meet that or layer that with other forms of crime prevention strategies, one of which is environmental crime prevention, addressing the environmental factors that enable that crime. And walls are absolutely part of it. I have a lot of CCTV footage of young people running into the road reserve, throwing stones at passing cars, and then retreating between the shacks. In that case, possibly just mischief, but very dangerous mischief that costs lives. And then, of course, you have the calculated, premeditated actions of criminals who, on these various sections of roads, will enter the roadway and try and bring cars to stop. If the retreat is not a simple 30-second exit, it is much harder to commit these crimes. And we will then also step up our enforcement, because you will find fewer people in the road reserve. The fences will not be porous, so there will be no justification for you to be there, because you will evidently have climbed over a barrier that is intended to keep you out. At the moment, those barriers are absent, and people simply say, well, there is no fence.
JP, we're going to have to...
Keep in mind, this is an offence in terms of the National Road Traffic Act, not city legislation. It's national legislation that says you're not allowed to be in a road reserve.
Indeed, supporters say it's a necessary crime prevention measure. Just to recap, critics have called it everything from a South African Berlin Wall to an architecture of control. JP, thank you so much for joining us on today's show to give us your breakdown as to the merits behind this wall being built on the N2, that's known as the Hell Run near Cape Town International Airport. Alderman Jean-Pierre J.P. Smith, Mayoral Committee Member for Safety and Security for the City of Cape Town.